You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, listen, I've been saying all along, you got to get to know your candidates. I don't care what they're running for. Dog catcher, it doesn't matter. But the reality is, you're going to be at the polls, you're going to have a ballot in your hands, and you're going to have a pen, and you're going to have to mark a name. And so one of the things that we try to do on this show at all times is give you a chance to meet the different candidates. Someone who's been on the show multiple times with us, and we certainly appreciate that, is Mike Durant, who is right now in studio. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be here, Phil.
Well, it's good to have you here. I said a minute ago, right before we went on the air, you got like 13 and a wake up to the polls open, right?
It's flying by.
Well, I would... All right, let me put it in parlance. I think you can understand. At this point, you're probably like flying Napa the Earth with the doors open. Am I right?
Yeah. But, you know, we got a full tank of gas and plenty of ammo in the magazines. We're ready to roll.
All right. Yeah. Well, good enough. Hey, listen, I just want to run through some stuff with you. Not the least of which is the fact that the polls are all over the place. I was comparing your Senate race right now between, and really the top three candidates, you, Katie Britt, and Mo Brooks. I've been saying over and over again, people should get to know y'all because one of you three is going to be the next U.S. senator. Mm-hmm. But the polls, I mean, good Lord. One day it's Katie Britt. The next day it's you. We had a poll in 1 week that had Brooks and Britt both ahead in competing polls. It's like the Kentucky Derby where, what's that horse's name, Rich Strike, just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Past 10 horses.
80-1, I think he was.
80-1. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a betting man, but that would have been a good day.
Well, that's not me. I'm not Rich Strike. Yeah, I like to think my odds are better than that.
I would think that you're better than an 80-1 right now. Yeah. That being said, there's going to be a runoff, in my opinion. I really do believe there is. Nobody has ever polled above. Even when Mo was up back in the day, he was only in the 40s. And with the field, with three strong candidates, and you got some other kind of also rans that have their percentage or two, and apparently you got 15% undecided. What the heck?
Yeah, I think it's I don't want to say it's a foregone conclusion, but it's very likely that this will go to a runoff.
Okay. Well, that being said, we appreciate you being here today. I think the audience, I mean, you're up here in the community where you've lived for a number of years, where you built a business. So this is a listening audience that kind of already knows you to a degree, but there's a lot of folks still that apparently are undecided and need to hear more. So I thought I'd just run through a few things and get your thoughts. All right.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and it is interesting because I have lived here for 21 years, but I'm not a very public figure here. You know, I've just had my head down working hard on my business and raising my family, but, you know, haven't had a chance to meet a lot of people. So this is a great opportunity for me to get to speak to them.
Well, good deal. Yeah, I said earlier right before you got here that they not everybody's going to be able to catch you on the stump. I mean, you're canvassing all 67 counties right now. By the way, how many counties have you been in? Do you know?
We're not counting. I can tell how many miles I've put on the vehicle, which is about 25,000 in the last 2 months.
All right. Yeah. Well, when you get to the point that, like John Merrill, you can say you had two sets of tires on your car during one campaign season, that's big doings. All right.
Or you buy cheap tires, one or the other. But,
All right, so let me ask you some questions. I just want to run through a few things that are like in the news right now and get your thoughts. Not the least of which is the fact that Biden gave an economy speech yesterday. And you know, we had a pretty strong economy under the Trump administration by all rights. Of course, we had the COVID hit, and I don't think any presidency could have survived that economic dash. But right now, Biden's of the firm belief that the remnants of COVID, which I think are pretty much done, and the war in Ukraine are everything to do with our economy right now. What are your thoughts?
Well, of course, he's going to blame everything on somebody else. But, you know, I think the conservatives in this country see the truth, which is the Biden administration has handled everything that they have touched from the very beginning pretty much the exact opposite of what all of us would have. And it's resulted in all the things that we're dealing with. Where, you know, there's a war in Europe. We got inflation, out of control gas prices. You know, it's just this administration, I don't understand how they think. I really don't, because there's not a single thing they've done that I agree with.
They certainly made your campaign more expensive with the gas prices, I'm sure.
Yeah, I try not to look when Michael fills up the tank, but yeah, no doubt about that.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I think, and of course, you're in friendly territory for that opinion, but I agree with you. I think the Biden administration has to own this, and they refuse to.
Mm-hmm.
But they
keep, you know, proposing dumping more money out there, giving it away for, you know, promoting more social programs. That's going to make two things worse. One, it's going to disincentivize people to want to go to work, and it's going to further drive inflation, because the more money that's in the system has an inflationary effect on the economy.
Perfect. Let me ask you this. I had a caller earlier before you got here who called in and said, when you get these Senate candidates on, can you ask them what their credentials are to deal with the economy? What credentials do you feel, or experiences for that matter, do you feel like you bring to bear that help you go to D.C. to deal with economic issues?
Yeah, I think the number one thing, which is, you know, a slam dunk for me, is that I've run my own business for 14 years. I mean, that you don't know how to operate, run a business, and we have to balance our budget. I mean, you know, we can't overspend ourselves or we go out of business. You have to understand what impacts working families, because that's what your business is. You're supporting your employees as much as they are supporting you. And that is a clear differentiator for me.
Well, and I, that's kind of the answer that I gave the caller, is that while I know that you know that Mo is going to say he's got his degree in economics, which certainly weighs in my opinion. He's got a deeper than usual understanding, that you've also got your, you know, sort of a street cred degree in economics.
I've got the School of Hard Knocks degree.
Yeah. Well, you must have survived a few hard knocks, because you did build a pretty thriving business. How many employees did you have at the end?
Well, if you count the whole workforce, it's close to 700 with the subcontractors that we have working for us as well.
All right. Let me switch gears on you. You're a veteran. You just received a pretty significant endorsement from, is it Veterans for Congress? What was the name of the
pack? Combat Veterans for Congress.
Combat, yes. Veterans for Congress. Appreciate that.
And let me tell you, they took that seriously. This is not something where, you know, you submit your name and they just sort of write you a blank check. They have a board. They do an evaluation. They're very, very thorough. And they vetted me, and I really appreciate that endorsement.
Well, and I think that speaks well to you. I mean, certainly your background. Everybody knows you as Black Hawk pilot Mike Durant. But the folks who have been in the community also recognize it. It's one thing to say, I saw this movie or I read this book and I saw his name. It's another thing for people who have been there and done that to agree.
Yeah, we also got the SEAL PAC endorsement also, which is a group that was formed to support veterans like me, a lot of former Navy SEALs, because that group, and I agree, feels like people from that community understand how to get things done. They can be trusted. They're committed to the country. They've already sacrificed, and that's the kind of people they want to see in office, and I'm proud to get that endorsement as well.
All right, so the soft community is definitely with you. The combat veterans community is endorsing you. The other thing that I did see, though, and there was a lot of hoopla early on, was actually there's still attack ads running right now, I think, regarding Second Amendment and Mike Durant. And yet you just got the highest possible rating from the NRA, am I right?
Right. And it just shows the lack of credibility by these super PACs and quite frankly, my opponents, because, you know, they're in on it in many cases. And there's nothing there that you can point to that indicates that I am anything but pro-Second Amendment. And they've turned this into a fairy tale.
Well, all right. So all that to say, right before you got here, I was doing a segment on my show I call Run the Numbers, and I was going through all the polls that have had you ahead, Katie ahead, Mo ahead, and just kind of all over the place. But one of the things I also did running the numbers were the vast amounts of money that have been spent on campaign ads, to include a huge amount on negative campaign ads. In fact, back when Mo Brooks first took his major dip, and of course he lost the Trump endorsement, that hurt significantly, and then he also was facing an onslaught of like $2.7 million in negative attack ads. But you're facing your own. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's going to be awkward here in a minute if we go to break, and you're probably going to hear a commercial with your name attached to it.
Right, right.
By the way, I didn't sell that ad, but nonetheless.
Right.
All that to say, what is it, looking through all the ads, that you wish people would see about you that perhaps they haven't seen yet?
Well, the simplest answer is the truth, because it's all fabricated. And that's been the most troubling aspect of all this. I mean, I knew going in, hey, this is a contact sport, as I call it. Well, I know that. I was ready for that. What I wasn't quite prepared for is the depth to which they would go. I mean, when you said earlier that you're here in his hometown, I almost made the joke, oh, you mean we're in Maryland? Because they claim that I was in Maryland. I mean, that I live in Maryland. It's ridiculous what they're doing. And unfortunately, for the average person who doesn't have time to go investigate all these things, it has an effect. And it's propaganda. I mean, it's things you wouldn't think occur in our society, but it's happening and it's affecting the race.
So I would dare say, in my opinion, that to me, one of the cheapest shots, and I used to see it, by the way, when I was in the state Senate, I ran a 4-county race, not a 67-county race, but a 4-county race. And my opponent used to run ads that would say, I'm so-and-so, and I'm from here. I've lived here all my life. Like, that was his qualification.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that that was the cheap shot of the outsiders aren't allowed to come in and take our stuff. But you've been here for 21 years. You chose this community.
Right. And if you go even further back than that, I mean, I went to flight school in 1983, which is in South Alabama. So, yeah. I mean, I've been here for a long time. That's 40 years going all the way back.
If the BRIC campaign is the one running that ad, they need to take note of the fact that the military community, most of them are not from here originally.
Right.
And the retirees that come here, like you, you're retiring and then deciding to settle here. That should mean something. Listen, Mike, we got to take a break. That's our schedule. Can you hang on through the break and talk a little more?
Absolutely.
All right. We're with Mike Durant, one of the top candidates for the U.S. Senate race to replace the seat being vacated by Richard Shelby. You're going to want to know more about him because he is very likely going to wind up being in the runoff. We'll see. Lots more to come. 13 and a wake up, and then we go to the polls. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So we're right back now in studio with Mike Durant. Mike, thanks again for being here in person. I know that's a lot on the campaign trail.
Well, it's great to be here. I mean, you know, I'm out here trying to contact as many people as I can. This is a great way to do it, and just appreciate the opportunity.
Well, just so you know, Mo Brooks will be on at 4, and Katie Britt has declined. So there's that. But I'm just going to keep saying it. The BRIC campaign is listening. You've had every opportunity, and she's told me she doesn't want to. So I guess I don't know what to take of that. But the public can make of that what they will.
Well, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, if you think about who are the conservatives in this race, we're going to be on your show.
Oh, hey. Hey.
Imagine that.
Wow. Save that soundbite for later. All right. Let me ask you this. We were talking during the break about several things. One thing in the news that I do want to get your feedback on before we go to maybe a few other tangential things is Ukraine. Right now, the House, of course, you're vying for the Senate, but the House just passed a measure to send another $40 billion to Ukraine. The war in Ukraine, I mean, it's probably the largest level conventional force-on-force that we've seen since Desert Storm. In terms of a viable entity facing a viable entity. But that being said, they're only being propped up by us and other NATO members. Your thoughts, $40 billion and the war in Ukraine, what are you thinking?
Well, you know, that's a lot of money. And, you know, I think if you have a finger to point at anyone, it needs to go back to Joe Biden again. You know, we were pushing way too hard to get them to join NATO. Now, it's impossible to ever know whether Vladimir Putin would have did it and done what he did anyway. But we were poking the bear there, and we didn't need to. I mean, there's no reason to push that. And then he stood up in public and said a small incursion would be okay. Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to represent the strongest nation in the world, you don't talk soft like that. You say, this is the line. You cross it, you're going to deal with us. And he didn't, because he has no credibility. He lost the credibility in Afghanistan, as you and I know. And that's where it all started. And now we're paying the price, and it, you know, it's coming out of our checkbook.
Well, it is. And I don't know where the end state is. I think one of the things that bothers me, too, is we're hearing $40 billion. We're hearing $8 billion. We're hearing another $300 million or $300 million. And then at the same time, but we're not being told what the end state is. I mean, where is the end state?
No one knows. And let's not forget, we have to replenish our stocks. You know, we've given away, I think I read, a third of our Stinger missiles, and the production line's not even ready to get those produced again. It's going to take 2 years just to get those produced. Now, they're great. We've proven they're very effective, and, you know, that's a benefit for sure. But we were not prepared to replenish these stocks. So if we have to go actually do something ourselves and rely on this critical resource, we don't have a method to get that done quickly, because you don't shoot those a lot. They're not something that you shoot in training, you know, and we have given away large percentage. Now, you know, I don't disagree supporting the Ukrainians with resources was a bad idea, but the cost is going to be even more significant than we currently know.
Well, and I agree. And I don't think we're ever going to see right now a plan come out of the Biden administration. I've said multiple times that what we're seeing right now is clear evidence that Joe Biden has never led anything in his entire life. He's had the luxury of what I keep calling rhetoric without responsibility. Well, that being said, Mike, we only got a few minutes left here. You know, one of the things that I did say, totally different subject. I'm switching subjects on you.
I imagine that.
Okay, go ahead. I'm a radio guy. It's what we do. But that being said, this is a family event. I mean, you're a family man. You told me during the break you got six kids?
Yes.
Okay.
And four grandkids.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot of college to pay for.
Fortunately, the last one is about to enter.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so... this is a family event, though. I mean, you got negative campaign ads running about dad. They get to hear it, but they've known you all their life. But how's the family doing? How's that going on the campaign trail?
I think they're doing fine. You know, it was similar to when I started my business. I brought everybody in and I said, "Hey, here's what we're going to do. There's risk involved here. Are you in or not?" And they said, "Yeah, we trust you, Dad. Let's do it." And here we are, 14 years later, and knocked it out of the park. And we did the same thing with the campaign. I brought them all in. For the ones that weren't here, we got on a Zoom call and said, "Here's what I'm thinking. I want to know what you know whether you support it or not." And there's no way to foresee what it's actually going to be like. So so there's been a little bit of angst, I guess, in the aftermath. But no one has said, "Dad, I really wish you hadn't done that."
Yeah,
and I appreciate that.
No one has said, "Dad, I lost my job because of you." No, that's happened.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But it's also it's a weird dynamic, and I know that for a fact, just from the position that I was in. What it feels like to have things said about you in the public arena, that your family then gets to go, "Wow, that happened." It can build a bit of a fight or flight sometimes within the family, but it sounds like yours are in.
Well, I'm optimistic that it's going to make us stronger. I mean, you know, when you unify to go against an adversary, that, you know, it's just like being in the military. When you go to war with your buddies, I mean, your relationships get stronger, and I'm confident that's where this is going to end up.
Well, listen, we are down to it, but I want to appreciate you, or thank you for being here today. Tell the world where they can find out more about you and where you're going to be next.
Right. So it's MikeDurant.com. There's only one R in there. A lot of folks put two. It's MikeDurant.com. And I am all over the state. So the best thing to do is, you know, send us an email, go on the website and track it. I've been in five locations already today. So I will be at this event on Saturday. Where is that? In Gunnersville. Are you familiar with what's going on down there?
Big doings.
Yes. So I will be there.
All right, folks, listen, that's designed to be a get to know him better interview, and that's what you got. And listen, one of these three is going to be your next U.S. Senator. Mike Durant, thanks for being in studio here on Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We got more of that. And then top of the hour, Mo Brooks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.